And we're holding Chaf Gimel Amud Beis by the two dots. We're up to now the next Maila in the Mishnah. We had at the beginning of the Perek 11, 10 or 11, depending how you count them, Mailas that Kodesh has over Truma. And one of them was, we said was a Kli Mitzarech Mashi B'Sercha L'Kodesh Avalo Truma, that a Keli combines together everything that's inside it as far as Kodesh, but not as far as Truma. Meaning, in other words, if you have, let's say, a Keli full of separate pieces of food, even if the pieces are not touching each other, when it comes to Kodesh, we consider as though they were all one unit, and therefore something Tame touches one of them, then all of them become Tame, as opposed to with Truma, we would say the first one it touches becomes a Rishon, and the second one becomes a Sheni, etc. Now, all of this time, we've been saying that these Milos are Drabon. But now this one, the Gemara is going to bring a Pasif on. So whether that means that it's an actual, whether that means it's actually Daraisa, or whether it means it's only an Asmachta, so we'll get to that. So Menohani Mili, so from where do we know this about this business of Tziruf? Omer Abchanin, the Omer Kro, Kaf Achas Asora Zohob Malek Torah, 12 times by the Korbanos of the Nesiim, the Pasif uses the expression that they had one spoon of the weight of 10 gold shkolim, Malayak Torah filled with Torah. Now, the fact that it has to say Achas, Kaf automatically by itself means a spoon. So therefore, it didn't have to say Achas, or at least the Meshach Chochma on the Pasuk points out, it could have said something like Kaf Asara Zohav Achas, Malayak Torah, or something like that. The fact that it says Achas like this is meant for a drasha. Therefore, Akosav Asara, the full Mashav Kaf Achas, therefore it means that the Torah is making everything that's inside the spoon as if it was one. So even though we're talking ketodes, which is a bunch of small pieces that are in the spoon, they're still all considered one thing. However, the Gemara says Masiv Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says I have a contradiction to that. We learn in a Mishnah in Adius, where in Masechta Adius goes through eight, exactly what it sounds like, Adius, various things where the Chachamim testified that the halacha is such and such, and the Chachamim accepted it. So the Mishnah says, but they're hoisted for Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva added, besides which we had previously in the Mishnah, which we're going to quote in a few lines in the Gemara, we had previously Rabbi Shimon ben Beseder gave Eidos about something, and now hoisted for Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva added, Hasolas v'Ketores v'Halavona v'Agacholim, when it comes to the flour of Menachos and the Ketores, both of which are made out of little pieces, a whole bunch of little pieces, v'halavoina, and the frankincense, which is used, among other things, they put lavoina on a korban mincha. There's a spoonful of lavoina that goes together with the lachem apon, two spoonfuls of lavoina that go together with the lachem aponim, so that the hagecholim and coals, sheim nogatvu yoim v'mektsase, posalas kolai, that if a tvu yoim touches even part of it, then he makes the whole thing possible. Now, as usual, the word posel means not tome in the sense it can't be matame, something else, but posel in the sense it makes it a reveal of tome. So now we're talking Lavona and Gecholim, the frankincense, and for that matter, the ketores, and the coals are not food. Nevertheless, we have something called Chibas HaKodesh. The fact that they belong to Kodesh, the fact that they're objects of Kodesh, that gives them a Chiba, that gives them a preciousness, that makes it that they're able to be Makabel Tuma, even though they're not food. Now evidently what Rabbi Akiva is talking about, that if a Tevul Yom touches part of it, he makes all of it possible. Evidently that has to be Drabbanon. Mimai, how do we know? Midkatoni Reisha, because the beginning of that Mishnah starts by saying, Hey Rav Shimon ben Beseira, Al Efer Chatos Shenoga Tomei B'Mitzasei, that when it comes to the ashes of Parah Aduma, that if a Tomei touches some of it, Shetimei Eskuloi, that he makes all of it Tomei. Now, obviously, that has to be Drabbanon, because the Rav Chanin's posuk Kafachas Asora Zohav Malayak Tordes is talking about something that's going to be offered on the Mizbeach. The ashes of the Parah Aduma, of course, are not offered on the Mizbeach. Therefore, we don't have a source to say that Siruf should apply to them as well. Nevertheless, Rav Shimon Meseder says that it does, and if a Tevur Yom touches some of it, he makes all of it possible, or makes it all of it, or rather, if a Tomei touches it, he makes all of it Tomei, where Tomei means that it's Metame, other things. Now, one thing is, by the way, we've touched on this before, but with Parah Aduma, one of the milos of Parah Aduma is we don't start counting Rishon and Sheni. Anything of Parah Aduma that's Tomei is considered Tomei almost as if it was an Avat Tumah. We talked yesterday, for example, about a container that you're preparing for Parah Aduma that before you tovel it, we consider it as if it was Tomei. So when we talk about it, but you're a Tomei, so not even a Tvul Yoim we learned yesterday is kosher when it comes to Parah Aduma. But any other kind of tomei, he would actually make it tomei, not just posel, because when it comes to parah aduma, we don't say posel versus not, we say tomei versus not. We always consider it tomei in the sense that it can be metame everything else, and it all becomes an avatoma. So again, obviously, Rabbi Shimon ben Seira's din is only drabbanon, because daraisa said there's no reason to assume that siruf would apply to the ashes of the parah aduma. They're not offered on the mizbeach. So therefore, he must be talking drabbanon. So now, when Rabbi Akiva is saying hoisif, that he added that these other things, that if a tevur yom touches part of it, he parcels all of it, must also be drabbanon. Otherwise, it's not really appropriate to use the expression hoisif. He should be saying, that it should just be saying, hey, Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, it implies that he's adding to the din d'rabbanan that Rav Shimon ben Seira said. He's adding another angle on the din d'rabbanan. So we see it's d'rabbanan. We see it's not d'oraisa, and we're learning it from kafachas asara zahav. Tosfos discusses a couple of details over here. First of all, this is that we're talking about coals. Now, there's a difference. What kind of coals are we talking about? Now, every day they would take coals off the mizbeach hachitzon and bring them inside to the heichel, to the mizbeach hazav, and use them to burn that day's Torah, so twice a day, actually, because they brought the Torah twice a day. And then in addition, you had separately than that, you had the coals that they brought on Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol would bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and burn the Torah using that. So which coals are we talking about over here? So Tosfos discusses that on the face of it, it has to be only the ones of Yom Kippur, because the rest of the year, what they would actually do is they would take a pan and shovel some coals off the mizbeach into the pan. Then they would pour it into another pan, which would be brought into the heichel. They would shovel it using a silver one and then pour it into a golden one, because they didn't want the gold to wear out faster. And some, they would use a smaller one, so some of it would spill on the ground. Now, if we're saying that they have kedusha, to the extent where Tevur Yoim touches it, he passes it, then how can we just be throwing them on the floor and then sweeping them off into the Amma, into the water channel that runs through the Azara? So therefore, necessarily, Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, we must be talking about specifically the ones that the Kohen Gadol brings in on Yom Kippur, where there's no pouring from one pan into another. There he shovels them up using a golden pan to begin with and brings that very same one in, because we don't want to tire out the Kohen Gadol. He has the whole avoda of the day to do. We don't want to make him do more effort than necessary. So Tosfos discusses back and forth that point. You have the Rambam and the Ravid also argue on that point. The Rambam also says that we're talking about specifically the ones of Yom Kippur, and the Ravid disagrees. Anyway, that's one point that Tosfos brings up. Another point Tosfos brings up is this whole matter of whether we say of what exactly is Daraisa versus Darabanan over here. Maybe we could say that when it comes to things like Lavona and Gecholim, which are not edible, then maybe we would say that it's Darabanan. This concept of Chibas HaKodesh, maybe the other way around. Maybe we would say that Chibas HaKodesh is Daraisa, but maybe only, at least it needs to be Mukhshar LeKabel Tumah, not necessarily otherwise, which is what we're dealing with over here. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Gemara, that again, Rabbi Akiva is saying something that apparently is drabbanon. So we're saying that siruf is only drabbanon, and yet Rabbi Hanan is bringing a posik from the Torah. So the answer is Amar Shlokish Meshum Bar Kapara. Good evening, Akiva. Amar Shlokish Meshum Bar Kapara. Lo nitzrucha elo l'shiore mincha elo l'shiore mincha. Yes, but what we're talking about when Rabbi Akiva is saying that there's something drabbanon, where we do siruf kli, is talking about shiore mincha, is talking about the leftover flour of the korban mincha. Namely, daraisa, on a daraisa level, we would say tzorech l'kli akli mitzarefi. We would say that only if the thing requires a keli, meaning, in other words, that you need to put it in a kli shoreis in order to give it kedusha. Only then, then the kli combines it. So the keteres that the nesiim are bringing, the 12 times when it says kafachas asorazav leketeres, they have to put the keteres in a spoon in order to give it kedusha zaguf. That now it's going to be offered on the mizbeach. But something that does not have to be in a keli, namely the shiore mincha, which there's no particular, you don't need that to be in a keli, because that once you've taken out the koimetz of the mincha, the koinim take the rest of the mincha and they eat it, and it doesn't have to be in a keli. So ein kli mitzarefoy. On a daraisa level, the kli would not be mitzarefit because it doesn't need to be in a kli. But also rabbon and begozru. Now along came the chachamim, says Rabbi Akiva, and made a gzera, the afagabda in its circle kli, kli mitzarefoy, that even though it doesn't require a keli, nevertheless the keli combines it together. So that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. He's saying, so Rabbi Hanan would be telling us that the concept of tzuruf kli is actually daraisa. Then we'd be saying that, but that only applies to something which needs to be in a keli. And then Rabbi Akiva is telling us that the Rabbanan, even things that don't need to be in a keli, and that would apply to what Rabbi Shimon ben Beseder said about Parah Adruma ashes as well. Those don't need to be in a keli as well. When you're being Makadish them, when you're putting the ashes into water, then it has to be in a keli, but the ashes themselves don't have to be kept in a keli. So now, up until then, Siruf wouldn't apply on a Daraisa level. Mid Rabbanan, it does. So the Gemara says, Tenach Soilus. Okay, well, that explains what Rabbi Akiva is mentioning about flour. What about ketodes and what about the levona? Those are not something that necessarily have to be in a keli. They do need to be in a keli. So therefore, if they need it to be in a keli, the ketodes needs to be in a keli to get kedushas haguf to be offered on the mizbeach. The levona also needs to be in the bozichin. It needs to be in the spoons that you put on the shulchan together with the lachem aponim. So those need to be in a keli. So according to what we just said, it would come out that those are daraisa. So what's the hoisif? Then what is Rabbi Akiva adding that siruf applies to them only derabbanan? And the answer is Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Kugen Shitzavra on Agabe Kartavla. Yes, but we could be talking about, let's say you piled them you piled the totus of the levona on top of a kartavla, which is ur sholo, Rashi says boiled leather. So they would take in those days, they'd use leather to make, for example, tablecloths or bedspreads or whatever, and they'd boil it so that it would be more waterproof. So now, it doesn't have a receptacle, it's just a flat surface. So daraisa, yesh le teich mitzaref, ein le teich ein mitzaref. On a daraisa level, the keli would have to have an inside, would have to have a receptacle in order to be mitzaref. Ein le teich ein mitzaref. No inside, then it's not mitzaref. V'osir abonin betiknu. Now the chachamim came along and made a takana. The afagav the ein le teich mitzaref. That even though it has no teich, nevertheless it still combines them together. So all told, then what we're saying so far is as follows. According to Rav Chanan, we're saying the basic concept of tziruf is daraisa, but in order for tziruf to apply daraisa, you need two things. It needs to be something which has to be in a keli, and it has to be that keli actually has a receptacle. Other than that, three things actually. It has to be in a keli. It has to be something that has a receptacle, and it has to be something that's offered on the mizbeach. If it doesn't meet all three of those criteria, then it would be only we're saying it would be only dirabbanan. So Rav Shimon ben Beseder tells us about one of them, the ashes of the parah adruma, and Rabbi Akiva is adding a couple of others, which even though they need a keli, we're talking about, let's say you put them on a flat surface. Actually, Tosfos wonders, why don't we just say that you put it in a kli choil, and maybe we'd say daraisa, only a kli shoreis combines them together, not one of choil. Tosfos leaves it as sorachim. Anyway, so that's all according to Rav Chanan. But the Gemara says, "Pliga that Rav Chanan ad Rav Chiya ba'aba." Now, what Rav Chanan is saying that siruf is daraisa disagrees with what Rav Chiya ba'aba says. Our Mishnah that talks about Siruf is based on Rabbi Akiva's testimony in Masechta Edius. Meaning, in other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying there it's Dirabbanan. Therefore, the Maila of our Mishnah about a Kli Mitzarech Masha B'Seichai is only Dirabbanan, and therefore we mean that the Pasuk that we're quoting is only an Asmachta. The Rambam, in fact, paskens that way, that like all the other milas, it is Dirabbanan. He says this one has a remez min haTorah, and he brings this pasuk kafachas. But the fact is, he paskens is only Dirabbanan, and no sekelim. And the Rambam explained, since Reb Yochanan is quoted in the Gemara much more often than Reb Chanin, therefore, when we have a choice between which one of them to paskin like, then the Rambam figures to paskin like Reb Yochanan, because he's more Mora de Gemara. He's more the master of the Gemara, because he's quoted all over Shas, whereas Reb Chanin is quoted much less. Okay, so the bottom line is that according to Reb Yochanan, according to the way that Rambam paskins it, all of this concept of tziruf is derabbanan, not like Reb Chanin that would say that in certain cases, deraisa. Next, the next milo that we had in the Mishnah about kodesh over truma was, we said, harevi b'kodesh posel, when it comes to kodshim, when it comes to food of kodshim, or not even food, we said before, for example, coals and lavoina and whatever, which are not food. In a different Gemara, it talks about also wood of kodshim is another example. Wood that's going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Anyway, so the Mishnah had said that when it comes to kodesh, a revi is possible, whereas by truma, you only go as far as shlish. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Omer Rav Yosi, minayim revi b'kodesh shu posel. How do we know that there's such a thing as revi b'kodesh that is posel? Now again, if we're going to say that this is a real kal v'chomer, then it would mean that it would be daraisa. But we'll get back to that soon. But so far, Rabbi Yossi is saying that we have a kal v'chomer to prove it as follows. He says, v'dinu, we can show it by a kal v'chomer. Uma mechusu kippurim shemutu b'truma, madoch e mechusu kippurim, which is somebody who is tahor from his truma, but he has yet to bring a korban, and his tara is not complete until he brings that korban. So a zov, a mitzora, there's a couple of other examples. A woman who just gave birth. Anyway, so all of those, they're mechusu kippurim, until they bring their korban, their tara is not complete. Shemutu b'truma, now the din is they are allowed to eat truma. And that in turn, Rashi says, we learn by a different kal v'chomer in Masechta Sota. So we'll get to it in a year and a half or so, Bez Hashem. So Mechusik Kippurim is allowed to eat truma, yet posel b'kodesh, but he's posel, and he's posel to eat kodesh, or he's posel even, also means that if he touches kodesh, he makes it posel. So then, shlishi, sheposel b'truma. So then, a shlishi b'truma, which is posel by truma, where we learn from a different source that a shlishi l'truma is the fact that a mechusik kippurim is kosher for truma is in Yevamos. We're gonna have it in a couple of months. Bez Hashem. The fact that a shlishi is possible by truma, that we learn in Masechta Sota. Anyway, so a shlishi is possible by truma. Ein edin sheyasu revi l'kodesh. How much more so then that it should not only be possible by kodesh, but even make it, a revi, even that he being a shlishi, or the object, the food, whatever, being a shlishi, will make a revi. So that's the kal v'chomer. Now Rashi says, one second, don't we have a concept when it comes to every one of the yud gimel midas shatur nedreshes behem has sub rules within it? When we say Rabbi Shmuel Lami b'shloshes midas shatur nedreshes, those are 13 general rules, and each of them has sub rules. One of the sub-rules of kal v'chomer is the concept of dayoi, which the Gemara discusses in several places in Shas. We always say dayoi levomen adin lias kenodin. When you're making a kal v'chomer, you can't make that the thing that you're going to learn out from the kal v'chomer is going to wind up being more stringent than the original thing you're learning from. So in this case over here, what are we saying? We're making a kal v'chomer from truma, but by truma it only goes as far as shlishi. So what are you trying to make a kal v'chomer and saying that by kodesh it should go till revi? So Rashi says like this: There's a Gemara elsewhere in Bava Kamma where it discusses this business of dayoi at great length, and it explains over there. There's two different opinions. One opinion is, this is the opinion of Reb Taufan over there, that when do we apply dayoi? Only if, even if we use dayoi, the kal v'chomer is still not going to be undone. We're still going to have something that we validly learn from the kal v'chomer. So then we can say dayoi, we can't make it more stringent. But if the Reb Taufan says, if using dayoi is going to take away the kal v'chomer at all, then we don't say that. Now, in this case, we already know that there's going to be a shlishi lakodesh, because a shlishi applies by truma, so therefore automatically it applies by kodesh. So from the same Kavachomer that we learn from Maisa Sheni to Truma, the same way we can learn from that same Kavachomer from Maisa Sheni to Kodesh. So therefore, we already know that there's a Shlishi by Kodesh. So if we were to use Dayoy and say that we can't use the Kavachomer to say there's a Revi by Kodesh, then we're not learning anything from the Kavachomer. Reb Taufin would say, in that case, we don't use Dayoy. So in that case, then we can validly say this Kavachomer and say that it will give us a Revi by Kodesh. Rashi continues, now, what about according to the Chachamim over there who disagree with Reb Taufin? Well, then according to them, we would have to say that this is not a true Kavachomer. Then we would say that it's really Dirabanan, that there's a concept of Revi by Kodesh. And again, we're using the Kavachomer as sort of an asmachta for it, but in truth, it wouldn't work because of Dai. Tosfos discusses, Rashi himself in various places in Shas discusses this issue of is Revi by Kodesh really Daraisa, or is it really only Dirabanan? I think there were even some places where Rashi says that maybe even Shlishi, the Truma, that even the concept that by Truma you go as far as Shlishi is maybe only Dirabanan. Anyway, Tosfos over here discusses that actually there can be ways, even if we do say Dayoy, we can still use this Kavachomer to say that there's a concept of Revi Bakodesh because we can do, for one thing, we can do it by way of, for example, we just said before that there are things that are not food, but and normally they would not be Makabal Tuma, but nevertheless, because of Chibas HaKodesh, they do. And Tosfos discusses earlier that Chibas HaKodesh is in fact Daraisa. So therefore, we could use that. We could say, let's say, for example, so you have non-food objects of Kodesh, which one transmits Tumma to the next, and we wind up with a Revi. So therefore, so that we're learning from the Kavachomer. That's not something that, since we see that we can use Chibas HaKodesh for that, then therefore we can use the Kavachomer to get to Revi without having to worry about Dayoy, without having to say that we can't make it stronger than the thing we're learning from, because we already see that Kodesh is stronger in that Chibas HaKodesh applies to it and not to Truma. Anyway, so the bottom line is, according to Rashi, maybe we could say that Revi Bakodesh is Daraisa based on this Kavachomer. Maybe we could say it's Rabbanon if we don't accept the Kavachomer. According to Tosfos, either way, we could say it's Daraisa. The Rambam seems to also say that it's Rabbanon. I think the Rambam uses the word Divrei Sofrim on it, although not always. Sometimes when the Rambam uses the phrase Divrei Sofrim, sometimes he means something that the Chachamim learned with one of the Yud Gimel Midos, even though it's Daraisa. Anyway. So therefore, the Gemara continues, getting back to the Gemara, V'lamanu shlishi l'kodesh min ha-Torah u'revi b'kavachomer. So now we can learn that when it comes to Kodesh, we apply a shlishi, that would be Daraisa, and that meaning min ha-Torah, meaning we actually have a pasuk for it, and revi, we can learn by a kavachomer. So shlishi l'kodesh min ha-Torah minayin. So we're going to learn it. So we're going to learn it again in Yevamos, but here the Gemara brings it. The pasuk says any meat of a korban of which is therefore Kodesh that touches anything that's tome cannot be eaten. Now, what do we mean? Anything that's tome, mi loya skin and the noga b'sheni. When we say that it touches any tome, that includes that it touched a sheni, because we find a pasuk where sheni is called tome. Namely, we have psukim in Parshas. In Parshas Shmini, when it talks about the concept of Tumas Sheretz and the concept of Tumas Oichlin, so it describes over there, you have, for example, so a Sheretz falls into a Keli. So we say everything that's inside the Keli, because let's say it falls into an earthenware Keli, everything inside the Keli becomes Tumah. Now the Sheretz itself is an Abba Tumah. It falls into the Keli, it makes it Rishon L'Tumah. The food inside is called a Sheni L'Tumah. So we see that Sheni L'Tumah is called Tumah. Now the pasuk is saying meat of kodshim that touches anything that's tomei lo yirochol cannot be eaten. Mila eskin and nagav sheni. So we have to be talking about including where it touched a sheni, because we just said sheni is called tomei, and therefore that means this food becomes a shlishi. Become rachman lo yirochol, and the Torah is saying you can't eat it. So therefore we see that shlishi applies to kodshim. So the fact that shlishi applies to truma, that's what it is. Sorry, I got mixed up. The fact that shlishi applies to truma, that we learn from a kavachomer in sota. The fact that shlishi applies to kodshim, that we have right here in the pasuk. Revi me kavachomer hada amoran, and then the fact that it applies to revi, that we make a kavachomer from truma, as we just said. Which again, according to Rashi, that kavachomer might be a valid kavachomer, and we actually learn it daraisa, or it might not if we say dayoy, and then we say it would be only derabanan. And according to Tosfos, either way, we could make it be Daraisa, even if we say Dayoy, because we can do it by way of Eitzim and Lavona and other such things that are not edible, and yet Kodesh go, and yet Tumah goes from one thing to another.
You said shlishi is derived from deoraisa.
So we're saying shlishi when it comes to kodshim is clearly stated in the pasuk, because the pasuk is saying that if meat of kodshim, if abbasar she yiga b'chol tamei, if it touches anything that's tamei, and we know the pasuk previous, a different pasuk tells us that a sheni is considered tamei, so necessarily therefore shlishi has to be tamei, has to be posel or tamei deoraisa by kodshim, because we're saying if food touches a sheni,
why if a sheni is tamei, a shlishi has to be.
Because that's what we're saying. The pasuk is saying if meat of kodshim touches anything that's tamei, then you're not allowed to eat it. Well, anything that's tamei means a sheni. So therefore, it touches a sheni, it becomes a shlishi.
Mm-hmm. I see.
But when it comes to revi, for that we need a kavachomer, and for that again, you have the discussion between Rashi and Tosfos whether that's a true kavachomer, and therefore it is daraisa like anything else that we learn from a kavachomer, or whether maybe it is indeed only derabanan like most of the other milus that we learned in our Mishnah, and therefore the kavachomer is not really a valid kavachomer because of dai. Okay, next
you should be able to say the same thing then about the revi. If you're saying a shlishi is tummy, and anything that touches something that's tummy
because you need a source in the pasuk to say that shlishi was saying you're not allowed to eat. But remember, we have a difference between posel and tummy. Based on that pasuk, we can say that kodshim that are shlishi are posel. We don't have a source. The pasuk doesn't call them tummy. The pasuk says abosar sheyiga before tummy, that it touches anything that's tummy. That doesn't mean that it itself becomes tummy. It just means that it's also to eat. So it could be what we call in Gemara terminology posel rather than tummy.
And if it's posel, we would still use that to derive that shlishi is considered deoraisa.
Yeah, because we would say it means that shlishi is posel deoraisa, meaning you're not allowed to eat it. You have to burn it. But it would not necessarily be matame other food unless you have a kavachomer. So again, you have the kavachomer. The kavachomer may be a valid kavachomer, and then it means daraisa that shlishi can make a revi, or it may be only derabanan, meaning that shlishi, meaning that midaraisa shlishi of kodesh would be only posel but not tame, and then the derabanan it makes a revi. That's the discussion we hear between Rashi and Tosfos.
Didn't we say sometimes that you don't apply kavachomers to kachin?
No, what we said is ein lamedin lamed min alamed b'kodshim. We say if you learn something, there's a whole complicated sugya about it in Zvachim. If you learn something with one of the midas shatoin adreshes behem regarding kodshim, not always can you learn from that to something else using the same or different one of the midas shatoin adreshes behem. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. There are the Gemara in Zvachim goes through four things that you might learn from kavachomer, hekesh, zeir shava, and I forget what the fourth one is. And then it goes through over there systematically and discusses all 16 possibilities when we would say you could, when you would say we can't. But here we're learning just from a kavachomer. So the question is not, it's not lomid min alomid. The question is the kavachomer valid, given that we also have the sub-rule of kavachomer called dayoi, which tells us that you can't make the thing that you're learning through the kavachomer be stronger than the one you're learning from. If you're learning from Truma, where it only goes as far as shlishi, how are we making kodesh at revi? So that's what Rashi says. According to Rav Tarfon, it's not a problem because he would say, given that we already know shlishi from the pasuk, then with the kavachomer, if you're going to slog up the kavachomer, then we have no kavachomer at all. The kavachomer is not teaching us anything whatsoever, and we can't do that. Therefore, it's a valid kavachomer. According to the Chachamim, Rashi says it would mean that it's derabanan. And Tosfos says, nevertheless, even according to the Chachamim, given that you have ways of making it work on a deraisa level, because you could work through, Tosfos says, you could work through Cholin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh, or Eitzim or Levoino, or whatever. You have various things that apply to Kodesh that don't apply to Truma, where we can make the Kavachomer work through that without having to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Mishnah had gone on to say, the next Mila was with Truma im Nitme Schola. We said that when it comes to Truma, if one hand is Tomei, then no problem. You're allowed to still touch Truma with your other hand. Chaber to Tahora, the other hand is Tahor. On the other hand, by Kodesh, we said you'd have to tovel both hands. Tovel, not wash, because we learned already in the previous parak that for Kodesh anyway, whenever your hands are Tomei, a Mila of Kodesh is they have to tovel your hands rather than washing them. So the Gemara says, Amrav Shizbi b'chiburin shanu. Now, what we're talking about when we say that one hand makes the other hand tame when it comes to kodesh, we're talking about b'chiburin. We're talking about, in other words, so now, throughout the sugya over here, Rashi and Tosfos argue about the meaning of chiburin. Rashi holds that it means, while the tame hand was touching the tahor hand was touching kodesh. So in other words, let's say, for example, your right hand is tame, because let's say midrabanan, let's say obviously the whole concept of tumas yadayim is only midrabanan. So let's say, for example, you touched a sefer Torah with your right hand. Midrabanan, that makes your hand tame. Now, it makes it a sheni l'toma. Now you are touching your right hand with your left hand. Your left hand didn't touch the sefer Torah, so it itself is tahor. But now, at the same time, with your left hand, you're touching kodshim. So Rav Shizbi is telling us that is the case where we're saying that's going to be a problem with the kodshim, because the problem is that you might touch the kodshim with your tame hand, with your right hand, but not otherwise. But not if you're not, but not if one is not touching the other. So if you have, again, your right hand is tame, your left hand is not. And you, even if you touched your hands together, later on, you took your hands apart and then you touched kodesh with your left hand, says Rav Shizbi, that wouldn't be a problem. Your hand is not making your other hand tome as far as passing it. That's how Rashi learns b'chiburim. Tosfos talks about that. No, what it means is, if at the same time, chiburin rather would mean, if at the same time that you're touching the object that would make your other hand tame, you're meanwhile touching with your other hand the object of the food of kodesh, the object of kodesh. Meaning, in other words, that Tosfos would explain, if let's say, for example, with your right hand, you're right now touching the Sefer Torah, and now at the same time, with your left hand, you're touching food or other things of kodesh. That's what that would mean, the chiburin. So then we would say that you have to toivel both of them because both of them might have become tame, or because you might touch one with the other. Tosfos brings both possibilities. He brings from Rashi, and then he says, fine, that's a possibility. It would mean then that according to Rashi, then we would be saying that you need to toivel both of them just to be on the safe side in case you touch it with the wrong hand. But what it means is, to begin with, the Chachamim would tell you, you have to toivel both of them, just in case both of them became tame. And then Tosfos gives their own interpretation of b'chiburim, like we just said, that it means that at the same time that he's touching the Sefer Torah that makes his first hand tame, at the same time, his other hand is touching kodshim. Or no, rather, what Tosfos says is a little bit differently. You're touching the Sefer Torah with your first hand. At the same time, your second hand is touching your first hand. That would be b'chiburim. That's when we say you have to toivel both hands. But not if you just touch the Sefer Torah with one hand and your other hand never touched that first one at all. Then Rav Shizbi is saying, even by kodshim, there wouldn't be a problem. So the Gemara says, Esve Abaya. So Abaya says to Rav Shizbi, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Yad Meguva, a dry hand, Metame Chabata, Latame Lakodesh, it makes the other hand Tame, insofar as it's Metame the Kodesh, it makes the Kodesh Ravi, Ava Lola Truma, but not as far as Truma, Divir Rebbe. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda Omer, Lifsa Lava Lola Tame. Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda says that the second hand, and the second hand makes kodesh only posel, but not tame. Again, like we just said before, tame means that it can be metame something else. Posel means that it cannot. So Rebbe, in short, Rebbe would be saying that the second hand makes the kodesh shlishi, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that it makes it revi. So now, if you say that we're talking about in our Mishnah and in this Braisa, we're talking about whether the hands are touching one another or not. So we're talking whether chiburin or shaloi b'chiburin, hainu rabusid in a guva. So then we know the chiddush is, even though the hands are dry, and therefore now if the hand had been wet, then fine, the hand that's tame touches liquids, it makes them a rishon, and then those liquids in turn would make the other hand a sheni as well. So then we're saying that nevertheless, even because we're talking about kodshim over here, we would still be machmir, even though the hands are dry, and say, even though there's no liquid involved, nevertheless, it's the time of the other one. But if you say that the whole concept of one hand being metame the other one by kodshim is only when one hand is touching the other one, and not when they're not touching, then what's the chidush? Whether one, what's the chidush? Whether it's dry or not. After all, the one hand, regard even if there's no liquids involved, so then it does. So and yet we're saying that one hand can be metame the other by kodesh. So then it would mean, in other words, we're saying that the hand that's shady is making the other one shlishi. So what's the difference? In other words, either way, it's not going to be able to be metame the kodesh without mashkin being involved. So doesn't it have to be, says Abaya, that necessarily we can't be talking about the chiburin only, we have to be talking about chiburin or not. It seems a little bit unclear to me. So let's learn the Rashi, Iyam Shleim Shleim Chiburin, and see if we can clarify that a little. The last Rashi on the other. Iyam Shleim Shleim Chiburin Kamar, if you're talking about that there's no chiburin, there's no one hand is not touching the other, kamar, is what we're talking about, the matama, and we're saying that one hand is still matama, the other one, and therefore you have to toivo both of them, hainu rabusa dinaguva, then that's the chidush of saying that even though the hands are dry, even though the one hand was dry when it touched the other one, the ein locho shemen noga hayada toira b'mashkin shabatmeya, so there's no concern that the Torah hand may have touched liquids that are on the Tomei hand, which if there were liquids there, Shehen was showing him, such liquids would be a vision, to call up postals of Truma Matama Mashkin Mes Trila, because we have a din de Rabbanon that says that anything that makes Truma Postle, meaning anything from Sheni and above, which is it makes Mashkin Trila, makes Mashkin a Rishon. So then, if there was liquid over there, Vahabi Allah Hach Yad Nami Shnia Machmas Hamashkin Kmechavata, and then automatically, of course, the second hand would be a sheni because it touched liquids that were Rishon. And then Afila Hochi Matama. So if we would say that if there's no liquid involved, we're saying the chiddush is, even though there's no liquid, we're saying still the second hand is metame kodshim, de maila de rabbanon hi, because we would say it's a maila de rabbanon, shayad metame es chaverta lias shnia, kamoisa la kodesh, that one hand is metame the other one and makes it a shnia as far as kodesh. So that's all if we say that it doesn't matter whether the chiburin or not, whether the two hands are touching each other right now. But Yud of Shizbi are telling us that this concept of one hand being metame the other one, and in turn being metame the Kurdish, only applies b'chiburin, only when one hand is touching the other. At the time of Hashem Duma Noga Tomei L'Kodesh. And the reason why we're saying it, we would say, according to Rav Shizbi, is because we're concerned that the Tomei hand may touch the Kurdish. Well, Mayra Busad in the Guva. Then what's the Chidush of mentioning a dry hand, or to Yad Kamaisa Loi Matami Lo Kodesh Bloy Mashkin? After all, wouldn't the first hand be able to be Matame the Kodesh even without liquids? Halo Shnei. After all, the hand itself is a Sheni, it's going to make the Kodesh a Shlishi, whether there's liquids involved or not, as long as it certainly if the Kodesh was previously Mukshal Kabal Tumah, maybe even if not, because this is another angle on Chibas HaKodesh that we talked about before, where in certain cases, Kodshim can become Tumah even if they never got wet with one of the Shiva Mashkin. But whatever the case, definitely in a case where a hand that's Shani touches Kodshim and is Matame them, no question it's making them a Shlishi. So then what's the difference, whether there's liquids involved or not? Either way, the original hand is definitely a Shani. So therefore, the fact that we're using the expression Yad Neguva implies that there's a chidush in it being a dry hand. We're saying even though it's dry, the one hand is metame the other. Well, that seems to apply whether there's chiburin or not, and therefore that's the chidush. Even though it's dry, and therefore the second hand did not even become a sheni l'tumah because it didn't become tumah from the first hand. Nevertheless, we're still saying that you can't touch kodshim, and if you do, you make it possible. But if we're talking about davka, if we're talking about davka with chiburin, then there's not much of a chidush, because then, of course, the first hand And then, of course, then it doesn't matter whether it's dry or not. Either way, the first hand is tamei, and if it touches kodshim, it's going to make them tamei. And therefore, we'd say the second hand as well. But then it doesn't matter whether the two hands were dry or not. So why would we be mentioning dry? That's a bias point. And the Gemara continues, Itmar nami omer shlokish. Now, they said also that there's a machlokish between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechon about that. Now, the Baal Amor actually takes out the word nami because he says this is not, we're not using this as a proof for what we just said. Fine. Rav Shizbi had said a din, Abaya shlugs him up, and that's that. But rather, he takes out the word nami and he says here's a different machloikas on the subject of chiburim or not. We had Abaya shlugged up Rav Shizbi's proof. And now the Gemara is saying that now, in addition, we have a machlokas amiroyim, we have a machlokas Rabbi Yechonon, and Rish Lakish on that point. However, on the other hand, we do have the word nami in front of us over here, and the Turei Evan talks about that maybe he finds a way. Let's learn the next few lines, and we'll see what we can explain of what he says of how this would be a proof one way or the other to the previous statement. So Amar Rish Lakish Lashonu Ela Yoder. So Rish Lakish says that this that we're talking about, that one hand makes the other one tamei, is only the person's own hand. But if it's somebody else's hand, then not. So Rish Lakish would say that if Reuven's hand is tamei and he touches Shimon's hand, then he's not metamei Shimon's hand, and therefore Shimon can touch Kodshim with no problem. Rabbi Yechanan says it doesn't matter whether it's his own hand or somebody else's hand, but only if the hand itself with which he touched his friend's hand, but not the other hand, lifts a lavalotame, and it makes it possible, makes the Kodesh possible, but it doesn't make it tome, which means it makes it a reveal a trauma, not a shlishi a trauma. So he says, you know, it's two things. He's saying, first of all, it does apply to somebody else's hand, not like Rish Lakish. But on the other hand, it only applies. All it is the first hand is a sheni, the second hand is a shlishi, and therefore it only makes the kodesh a revi. According to the Baal Amor, this is not a proof to the previous sugya, to the previous thing of Rav Shizbi and Abaya. It's a new machlokes. But according to the Turei Evan, so the Turei Evan explains that essentially, that if it was a matter of chiburin or not, then it wouldn't really matter his hand or somebody else's hand. So then there would be no reason for Rish Lakish to even be saying that there's a difference between his hand and somebody else's hand. Tosfos says something vaguely similar, actually. Tosfos at the bottom of the previous Amud says, since we're saying, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that he's metame the other person's hands, then it's enough to say that it's just passeling. We're not going to go so far as to saying that it's metame and making it a shlish. Whereas Rish Lakish would say the reason behind the Gzeira is not because one hand is metame the other, but because you might confuse one hand with the other. If you're touching with the Tahor hand, you might end up touching with the Tame hand. So the Tahor one also, we're going to say, would actually be considered a Sheni as well. So in other words, he would be Machmir against Rabbi Yechanan in one way and Makel in a different way. So the Gemara continues, Mimai. Now, Rabbi Yechanan says, how do I know that when one hand touches the other one, when the one that was originally Tahor touches Kodshim, it makes them only possible, not Tomei? Midkatoni Sefer. So Rabbi Yechanan says, because the Braisa continues, Shayad Matama Chavachala Kodesh, Avalo the Truma. Because one hand is Matama the other one for Kodesh, but not as far as Truma. Now, Rabbi Yechanan would say, ha, too longly. Why do I need that extra statement? We already said before that there are milus in Kodesh over Truma. And we said already the concept that by Truma, even if one hand is Tomei, there's no problem. You can touch Truma with the other one. So then, therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, so that's what it is. The mimai is, how do I know that it applies even to somebody else's hand? Because the fact that it adds shayad matam chaver to lakodesh is coming to include also one person's hand touching the other one. On the other hand, as Tosfos says, since there's not really that much reason to be concerned that you're going to confuse one hand with the other, your hand with somebody else's, therefore Rabbi Yochanan says it's enough to say that's possible. Okay, and the Gemara says, "V'af Rish Lakish Hadibay." Now Rish Lakish ended up changing his mind and agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan. The Amr Rabbi Yonah, Amr Rabbi Ami, Amr Rish Lakish. Echad yodei ve'echad yad chaveroi, whether you're talking about his hand or somebody else's hand, but oisa yad lifso, the hand that touched the other person's hand, lifso, it makes kodesh posel avalova tame, but not tame, meaning it makes it a revi, not a shlish. So we see now, since Rish Lakish is saying this, and before he had said differently, that shows that he changed his mind and came to agree with Rabbi Yochanan. The Baal Amor, by the way, there's no rif on Chagiga, because very little of Masechta Chagiga is Negeya nowadays, La Halacha, but there is rif on Moed Cotton, because most of it was, and at the end of it, Hamor, the Baal Amor has a couple of notes on things in Masechta Chagiga. So he has a note on our sugya over here, where he goes in and explains it in some detail. So he says like this. When Rish Lakish says originally that it's only his own hand, so then it would be chiburin or not. So therefore, we're saying he disagrees with Rav Shizbi, and who said that it's only with the chiburin. He would say it doesn't matter chiburin or not. He would agree with Abaye's objection against Rav Shizbi. But when it comes to somebody else's hand, then he would say that no. And Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't matter. The hand that the one touched would make a tameh, but not only insofar as it would pasul kodesh, but not to be matameh. But the other person's hand that did not touch the tumah at all, that would be completely tahor. So in other words, so Rabbi Yochanan would say you have over here Reuven and Shimon. So you have Reuven had one hand that was posel, had one hand that was tame, and one hand that was not. He's not allowed to touch kodesh with either one of those hands. Now, if he touches with one of his hands, he touches one of Shimon's hands, that hand that he touched of Shimon's is not allowed to touch kodesh, and if it does, it makes it posel, but the other hand of Shimon would be completely tahor, and it wouldn't even be a problem. And again, he says chiburin or not chiburin. So again, that shows that he disagrees with Rav Shizbi and says that it's not a question of chiburin or not. That's how the Baal Amor explains it. And the Gemara continues, the lifsal avalei l'tamei tanoi. Actually, this question of whether when the second hand touches the first one, when we say it only makes it possible, it only makes it a revi, but not a shlishi, tanoi he is actually the subject of a machlokes tanoi. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Yadayim, which is all about the dinim of these. It's all about the dinim of these things, of the truma of hands. Kol haposel b'truma, anything that passels truma, meaning anything from sheni and above, because truma can go down to shlichi. Metama Yadayim lias shnius, anything like that will make a person's hands tome and make him a sheni the truma. The yad metame chavata, and furthermore, one hand will be metame the other one. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua, that's what Rabbi Yeshua says. B'cham, I mean, yadayim shni yasein. B'cham say no, hands are only a sheni l'truma. Ve'en sheni ois a shlishi b'chulin. Ve'en sheni ois a sheni b'chulin. When it comes to chulin, a sheni does not make something else a sheni. It would make it a shlishi. And by chulin, there's no such thing as shlishi. So one hand cannot make the other one a sheni l'truma. Now, evidently, that means that Rabbi Yeshua, who's disagreeing with that, says that one hand does make the other one a sheni b'truma. So therefore, my lav, sheni hu deloy ovid, hashlishi ovid. So now the implication, when the Chachamim are saying that that a hand cannot make the other one a sheni, the implication is it can't make it a sheni, but it can make it a shlishi. Well, then there you go. So Rabbi Yeshua would be saying that second hand is a sheni, and therefore it's actually metame the Kodshim, it would make him actually Tomei because it would make him a Shlishi, and Shlishi by Kodshim is Tomei, whereas the Chachamim apparently would be saying that the first hand makes the second hand a Shlishi, and then it touches the Kodshim and makes it a Ravi, which makes it possible but not Tomei. So there you see, it would be a Machlokas Tanoi. On the other hand, the Gemara says, maybe not necessarily, Duma lo sheni obed v'lo shlishi. No, maybe what the Chachamim mean is that no, it doesn't make it either a sheni or a shlishi. Maybe they b'chlau argue the Chachamim against Rabbi Yeshua. Maybe they argue with our Mishnah and say there's no mila in Kodshim over Truma or anything else that one hand is Matame the other one. Rabbi Yeshua is saying one hand is Matame the other one, and Matame even to the extent apparently that it stays a sheni. And therefore, any kodshim that it touches would be a shlishi. The Chachamim might say, no, it doesn't do anything of the sort at all. It doesn't do anything to the other hand. They disagree with our Mishnah. They're Tanoim. They're able to, of course. So there's no proof that we have any Tana that says that we have one Tana that says that the other hand would be a shady and make the kodesh shlishi, and the other one would be saying that the second hand becomes a shlishi and makes the kodesh revi. We can't necessarily show that there is any such machlokes. Rather, though, we still can find machlokas tanoim, a different machlokas tanoim. The Tanya, Yad neguva matame eschabata latame bakodesh avalo the truma divi Rebbe. Rebbe says, which we learned this braisa already on Amud Aleph, that a dry hand is matame the other one in the sense that it's matame bakodesh, but not by truma. Matame means, in other words, that it makes the kodesh shlishi, implying that the second hand is a sheni as well. Divir Rebbe, that's what Rebbe says. Rabbi Yosef, Behuda Oima, Oisayad, lifts a lava loy latame. Rabbi Yosef, Behuda says, the second hand becomes a shlishi, so it's only possible in the Kodshim, makes him a Ravi, but not Tomei, not a shlishi. So there we see clearly that there is a machloikas on that, whether the hand becomes a sheni or a shlishi. Therefore, whether the Kodesh becomes a shlishi or a Ravi, we see Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef and Behuda are arguing about that. So now, when Rabbi Yochanan says lifts a lot of the time, he's following Rabbi. There's a long Tosfos over here at the Tanan, which among other things talks about that maybe there are cases where a sheni makes something else a sheni after all. Kisvei HaKodesh, a Sefer Torah, and other such things are considered a sheni l'truma, and they make a person's hands also a sheni l'truma. So Tosfos discusses over there, maybe that's maybe the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yeshua would be the ones who need to say, the Gemara talks about in Shabbos that a Sefer Torah itself is Tomei, and then the hands are Tomei, and so forth. So maybe you could say that first there was a Gzeira on the Sefer, and only then on the Yadayim, or maybe you could say that the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda would require both parts of the Gzeira, and then Tosfos goes on to discuss it at some length. Okay. The bottom line is, in other words, that so we don't seem to accept what Rav Shizvi is saying about the matter of chiburin or not. It doesn't matter whether one hand is touching the other one. Either way, what we're saying is that the one hand is matame the other one as far as kodesh, because you might touch it with the wrong hand, and therefore, so once one hand is tame, then you have to be matahir both of them. And when it comes to kodesh, then that means you have to dip them both in a mikveh. And if you didn't, then Rabbi is saying, and Rabbi Yochanan follows that the second hand would make the Kodesh posel, meaning a Ravi, but not Tomei, not a Shlishi. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, the next Mila of Kodesh over Truma was Oichlin Neguvin V'yadayim Esu Abesfula, that when it comes to dry food that has never been Mukhshar V'kabel Truma, then you can eat it with tomei hands when it comes to truma, but not when it comes to kodshim. Mesu'avis, by the way, is another word for tomei. The Aramaic word for tomei is so'av, so therefore sometimes the Gemara uses the word mesu'avis to mean tmeis. Anyway, so the Mishnah had said that you can eat truma as long as the truma is dry with tomei hands, because your hands can't be, you can't, because since it's not mukshal l'kabel truma, it won't become tomei from your hands, but not kodshim. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Amar Rav Chanina ben Antignus, V'chi yesh neguva l'kodesh. Why are we even mentioning whether the food is dry or not when it comes to Kodesh? What's the difference? just the fact of Chibas HaKodesh itself, the same thing as we said before, that Chibas HaKodesh makes that things that are not usually, that are not food, for example, coals or wood or whatever, are considered food. And on the Kabbal Tumah, Chibas HaKodesh also makes it that even before the food has gotten wet with one of the Shiva Mashkin, it's already Makabal Tumah because it's Kodesh. So who cares whether it's dry or not? So what's the point of mentioning Oichlin, Oichlin, Neguvin, the Yadayim Mesu'avis, implying that there's a difference between the Neguvim and not? And the answer is, that we need to be told, for example, let's say somebody else who has tahor hands stuck the food into his mouth with his hands are tahor. So the one, so Reuven has tomei hands, Shimon picks up a piece of kodesh and sticks it into Reuven's mouth. So now, and Shimon himself has tahor hands. So we're saying that if the food, if the food was dry, then there wouldn't be a problem with it with Truma. But with Kodesh, nevertheless, you have a problem, even though it's dry, and even though he didn't touch it with his hands that are Tameh, the other person who touched it, his hands are Tahor, nevertheless, there's Zeira de Rabbanan that you're not allowed to eat Kodeshim with your hands being Tameh. Or another example, Shetochav Hula Atzmei B'Kosh of a character. Another example could be that the person himself who has Tomei hands picks up the food using a kosh or a karka, which are various kinds of large wooden implements that are flat wooden kalim that don't have a receptacle and therefore are not makabel tuma. A kosh is used when you're spinning. It's like a large needle. It's called a spindle. A karka is you use it when you're weaving. You use it to bang on the threads in order to straighten them out. Whatever, they're both big flat pieces of wood, sort of like you could think of like chopsticks or something. And so they're not makabel tumah. So now suppose he picks up a piece of kodesh food using one of those, using a chopstick, and sticks it into his mouth. So therefore, again, the fact that he had tomei hands, he wasn't the tamei the kodesh, but nevertheless, we have a separate zera that he's not allowed to eat Kodesh with Tomei hands, even though he's not being metameid in any possible way. And ubikish lechot snoin shal ubatzor shal cholani mahen. So now what happens is, suppose that together with the food of Kodesh, suppose he wants to eat along with it a radish or an onion of cholin. Now his hands are not going to be metameid the cholin. But the problem is so now what happens? His hands are tummy. So now let's say again, somebody else put the Kodesh food in his mouth, or he himself stuck it into his mouth on a chopstick or something. The problem is that now when he's additionally eating cholin food together with it, he might at some point stick his hand into his mouth. And now, so fine, the cholin won't be a problem. His hands are not matame the cholin, but now when he sticks his hand into his mouth, then he's going to be touching the food of Trum, the food of Kodesh, and therefore the Chachamim made a Gzeira not to do that, that he shouldn't eat Kodesh with his hands Tomei at all. So the Kodesh, Gozru Bo Rabbanon, so the Chachamim made this Gzeira only when it comes to Kodesh, the Truma, the Gozru Bo Rabbanon, the Chacham did not make this Gzeira when it comes to Truma, so therefore with Truma, if the food was dry to begin with, then it's fine. So Rashi points out the reason why we have to stress that it was dry is because if there was liquid on it, then again, Neguvim doesn't have to mean that it was never wet, actually. Neguvim can mean that right now it's wet, that right now it's dry, even though it was wet before. But if there's liquid on it, again, his hands are going to make the liquid a Rishon, and then the Rishon will make the food Sheni L'Truma, and as soon as the Chulin will be Sheni L'Truma, and as soon as it touches the Truma in his food and in his mouth, then it's going to make it a Shlish. Now, so that's the thing. Rashi says one possibility is maybe the word neguvim means that it never became, that it was never mukshal kabel tumah. And in fact, Rashi had explained it that way in the Mishnah. But Rashi says by cholin, it doesn't really make a difference. You know, your hands, even if they were sheni of the tumah, never make cholin tumah anyway. So therefore, Rashi prefers the explanation that neguvim does not mean that it was never mukshal kabel tumah, just means that right now it's dry and therefore there's no liquid for your hands to make tumah, and therefore with chulin there's no problem. The chulin, nothing happens to them, and the truma, nothing happens to the truma, nothing happens to it either, because your hands are not able to make truma a shlishi, your hands being a sheni, The chum are not concerned if you eat truma without touching it with your hands. The chum are not concerned that you might accidentally eat cholin together with it and then touch the cholin while it's inside your mouth. For truma, the chum didn't bother making such a gzera. For kodesh, they did. And the last thing we said in the Mishnah, the last Maila, was ha'onen ha'mechusik kipurim chula. We said that an onen, so somebody whose relative passed away that day and has not yet been buried, or mechusik kipurim, somebody who has yet to bring their korban in order for their tahara to be completed. So we said they have to. So we said in the Mishnah, the last Maila was that they have to tovel in order to eat kodesh, but they don't have to tovel in order to eat truma. So why is that? The Gemara says my timer. Because up until now, they were also. A mechusik kippurim is allowed to eat truma, but he's not allowed to eat kodesh, as we said before on Amud Aleph. And onen is also allowed to eat truma. Rashi points out, we're going to learn in Yevamos, we're going to learn in a couple of months in Yevamos, Bez Hashem, that an onen is not allowed to eat maaser sheni. However, he is allowed to eat truma. So an onen is allowed to eat truma, and so is a mechusik kippurim, but they haven't been allowed to be eating kodesh. So therefore, atzrichinu rabbanan tzvila. Therefore the chachamim made a gzera and required them to do tzvila in case they weren't careful about something that would make them tomei for kodesh or posel for kodesh because they haven't been paying attention to it because until now they haven't been able to. So therefore, that is why the chachamim required tzvila. Okay. Shukriya, everyone.